on-demand show, this being show number 51, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Sapwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas, September 9th, 2003. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts of the Blind Handyman, Don Shaw.
Good to have you back again, Thomas.
Oh, it's good to be back. It certainly is. Don Patterson's here today.
Were you gone, Thomas?
I was gone just one week. Only show I've ever missed.
I wondered why I was missing you. I wasn't sure. I thought you were here, but then I wasn't sure.
Oh. Okay. Well, I kind of blend in sometimes. I know that. Anyway, I'm Tom Houston, folks, and the creator and producer of The Blind Handyman. Here he is, Phil Parr. I missed you.
I'll tell you that. I missed you because I had to run the board.
Running that board.
I don't care for it.
You don't like to run
the
board?
No, I did not enjoy running. I can, but then you got to think. I have to, you know, I just didn't like it.
You can tune in on show number 50, and it was probably. You'll see how it jerks. And
substandard.
Yes, it's substandard.
It didn't have the smooth, you know, how to keep everything flowing.
Yeah, I know.
Subpar, I think, would be. What would that be? Subpar? If I was running the board, it couldn't be subpar. I don't like the stereo stuff.
It's different.
It is.
It really is. It just sounds.
People are coming at you from all directions.
Oh, you want to switch?
No, don't worry about it. Just leave it the way it is. We'll see how it sounds. We're recording, of course, on ACB Radio. It'll be in mono, but we're recording in stereo today just in case 100 years from now somebody gets these CDs out. They'll go, well, wow, they did that in stereo. Isn't it amazing how they did that? I don't know why. Hey, it was Shaw's idea, wasn't it?
We just messed around yesterday and said, why not, didn't we?
Why not? Anyway, so we're in stereo today. We have mics panned. We have Don Shaw on one side of the pattern. And the way we sit in the room, Don Patterson and I are in front of the board, and Tom is at the board. And let's see. Actually, the configuration is wrong, isn't it? Because I'm further this way than you are.
You really are. You're to my left.
Yeah, so we have Tom panned all the way to the left, and Don Shaw panned all the way to the right, and Patterson and I kind of up the middle for you stereophiles who understand that sort of thing. I don't, but anyway, that's the way it is. So we thought we'd try it and kind of say it worked. I wish I had a... And Frankie, of course, is right up the middle.
I wonder if he lined us up. I wonder if he set us according to our politics. Am I not far right? What? I'm coming right up the middle. That'll never happen.
No, you should be far right.
Up the middle.
You should certainly be far right. In fact, you should be out there by the air conditioner.
Out there by the air conditioner.
Over there in the trees or somewhere as far right as you are. I don't know. Well, you know, and I'm as far left as you. In fact, we shouldn't even be able to hear each other.
Right. That's
as far apart as we are.
Shouldn't even be in the same room.
I'm further left than most people I know. Anyway, what else are we talking about? We had a little cool weather in East Texas. Fall has come early to the Pines.
Yeah.
We're all happy about that.
And which show is this?
51.
Number 51.
Absolutely amazing. Number 51. And we've kind of changed places. We have a new computer. We have a new monitor. And Pat and I switched places. So, I don't know. Things just don't seem to...
Nothing is the same anymore, Don. It's just...
I want to swap back.
You do?
You like it better over here? I liked it better over there.
All right. Well, I'll see if I can do that. The thing is...
I promise not to unplug anything on the computer.
Well, don't unplug anything. But I thought this fan would... Actually, the reason I moved, I didn't want to hear you bitching about this fan. That's exactly why.
You know me.
I do. That's why I moved you. I didn't want you going, boy, that fan is just... No, it drives me crazy. I didn't want to hear it because I knew I'd go, okay! You know, I didn't want to put myself in that position, so I moved you. Okay. Got the fan over here by me.
Switch at the first break.
Switch? No, we can't do that. I guess we could. You want?
We could.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Switch at the first break?
Sure.
Because then you get the good mic.
Bring up that bumper music, Mr. Tom.
No. No problem. No problem. We'll tough it out here. But we have Gordon Vick is going to be our guest today. He's Tom's. Vic's brother. We're going to talk about pest control. So if you have any pests, alert them. We're going to tell you how to get rid of them.
Control your pests.
Pest control.
That's right.
What we've done is made too many changes in one day.
We have made
right?
some. changes now.
We're doing it in stereo, and Pat and I have switched places, and we made too many changes.
The new computer, the fourth board, Tom is back.
Too many changes in one day.
I guess for anybody over 50, it would be, yes.
It's hard.
It is hard. As you get older, it's hard to make these.
If we were young bucks now, it wouldn't matter.
Don Shaw, who's only 51.
He's a mere child. Just a child.
And he has a job. Shaw has a job now. Shaw, tell us about your job, Shaw.
I wouldn't go that far.
Tell us about your job, Don Shaw.
What do I do? That's the question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we talk about technology a little bit, about Jaws a little bit.
Don Patterson gave up his erstwhile job at the college. He gave it to Don Shaw. You're just out.
I retired to the countryside, as they say.
And you're going
to
be out there with the yellow jackets.
Out there with the yellow jackets and the varmints.
And Don Shaw is now going to the college every morning.
University of Lufkin.
The University of Lufkin. Teaching the new recruits as they come in, Jaws and things like that. So he's Professor Don now.
Yeah, I wouldn't go quite that far.
Actually, has a gainful job, and I'm happy about it.
If you call him, Floyd, he's out there, man. He talks like this.
Yes, he does. Now, give us your library voice, John.
Oh, it's kind of like a golf game.
It is. Pat never talked like that. Hi, Phil, how you doing?
Hey, what the hell's going on?
I thought he was at the PGA.
When he called me this morning, Phil, my CD recorder stopped. I thought, Mary's asleep.
Mary must be lurking around the
Mary
corner.
Mary must be asleep, and then
around the corner.
He doesn't want her to know that his CD recorder's crapped out. That's what the deal is. You know,
that was the deal, huh?
But you fixed it.
No, I was at work. Yeah, got it rolling.
You
might explain, that your facility there at the school is in the library, and so you were kind of...
Yeah, we're right out amongst the
honoring the age-old tradition of quiet, please.
Quiet in the library. Yeah.
Students
which
studying.
Everyone should be in the library.
Right. I've never been to a library. I wouldn't know.
It does have a quiet atmosphere to
everybody,
it.
Everybody, even the people that's in charge. I mean, they walk around.
They do.
we're just getting an occasional noise. Frankie!
They always told me to hold it
occasional
down.
Noise in front.
Yeah, hold it down.
Keep down that racket.
I'm going to pass the joke. hold it down. Here's the thing. Should we do?
Thank you for passing that.
How much time have we killed already? Let's do email. What do you think? You
email time.
You want to do email?
Email time.
Okay, good show yesterday, guys.
Don't forget, it's coming out of your right ear.
Oh, okay. It does sound weird, though. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
Here in Canada, the federal government just announced a new program to assist homeowners cut down on energy use, the Kyoto Accord. Sorry for the spelling. The way I understand the program will work is that you get an expert technician to inspect your house, and he or she makes recommendations, generally for insulation, windows, and a new furnace. If you follow their recommendations, the inspector comes back and confirms your improved energy conservation, and you'll get a grant from the feds to defray some of the costs of the retrofits.
Okay.
Now, we live in a 50-year-old plus old house. We live in a 50-year plus old house with a 50-year plus old furnace.
Uh-huh.
Now, we've done some improvements since we moved into the house about 15 years ago. New windows, new steel doors. Some insulation improvements. So I know the top recommendation will be for us to install an energy-efficient furnace.
Yeah.
The show guest, sorry I did not get your name, indicated that if you get an efficient furnace larger than required, then it is not cost-effective, but it would be better to err on the side of the furnace that is too small. Now, how is the calibration for the size of the furnace made? We have the old wrought iron hot water heaters, so I assume this has an influence as well as the size of the dwelling. Also, would an efficient furnace require some work on the chimney, or since the gases are cooler, does this mean we should be okay in this area? Many thanks, and keep up the good work on the show, guys.
You know, I would say the thing to do would be post that on the list, if you're not on the blind handyman list, because a chilla blind man is what he calls himself. I can't remember his name.
It did. That was off the list.
Yeah, that came off the list. Okay, that's from the list. Okay.
Yeah, and this guy's name is Charlie McDonald. We've heard that name before.
Is this
this is our guy from Medilla, New York.
No, this guy's from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Have we had him on?
No.
Okay.
We have not.
Yeah, because he's already lost me on a couple of things, like the talking about the furnace and then a chimney, unless that is just to take out the gases from the... I don't know if he's burning coal or oil or electricity or what, but the guest last week did say, you know, that it was better to go smaller than larger.
Uh-huh.
I think some people might have a little trouble reasoning that out.
I do.
And I have also heard that, you know, in this country they do it by this ESR rating, your efficiency.
Yeah.
And there comes a point that, like, in the we're building the new house. And so I asked the guy what kind of unit to air conditioning and or heating that he put in. And he said about a 12, which is kind of in between. And he said because when you go up to the 15 or 16, the cost of the unit
will not offset the
will
savings.
Will not offset the savings. That's right. You're paying more for that extra that you're not gaining. And it's real interesting in efficiencies. Like, I happened to watch a thing. This sounds strange, but I'll work it in. Trust me, on the History Channel about the big ships in the Titanic area. And they were talking about that back then speed was a thing crossing the ocean. But it only worked when you got to be 21 knots, or roughly 25 miles an hour, it was good. But when you tried to go faster, even 1 knot faster, almost cost you half as much fuel as it did to get to that 21 miles an hour.
So, and so this would be the same principle.
I think this is the same principle with furnaces, but the retrofit there again, if the government's, you know, if they're paying you to do this, I guess you could make the improvements you could. But,
well, you know, our government could do something like that, except we're too busy paying for a war we started and giving the rich tax cuts. Or maybe we could do that here in this country. What do you think?
Well, I figure all of ours was going as foreign aid to Canada to allow this guy.
Well, we don't give Canada any foreign aid. We don't give Canada any foreign aid. Get out of town. Your president might, but Bill Clinton didn't.
I figure the reason why we can't do this in Texas is because they're doing it in Nova Scotia.
Yeah. If the government's going to pay for it, take whatever they want. But anyway, did we get an answer on the list from the Chillablind man?
We got some responses. I don't know about the chimney problem necessarily, but just kind of in figuring kind of the size that you needed, you got to take into consideration how many windows and doors you have, the size of the rooms, the size of the total air, the size of the total area that you're cooling and heating, uh-huh, things like that.
Yeah, and I guess in our case, the problem in our house is those high ceilings.
And
so you'd have to figure that. That's what I don't think they figured when they did our house. Anyway, it's never been efficient. But now the most efficient deals run the copper through the ground, don't they? I mean, there is a system of some sort that uses underground, somewhere now, that uses the cooling. Because they say 100 feet down, it's always, the earth is always cool.
Always, yeah, always.
So there's some system that you can, we might ask that guy a little later about that. But anyway, but if you posted that to the list, I bet you get some answers. I'd be interested in reading the answer next week. Could we?
Well, yeah, we could check on that.
Could find that.
Well, I'm boy, the neat thing about up there, I bet you his big expense would be heating, as opposed, you know,
I imagine
he has no air conditioning, maybe not even air conditioning.
He wouldn't need
probably
any.
Probably just furnace, yeah. You know.
Well, there's a postscript that goes with this email here, and it says, P.S., who is the warden? Are you on parole, Don?
Well, I stay under electronic surveillance pretty regular. I'm off right now. The warden is, I'm married to the warden, or I'm kept by the warden, or something.
He's kind of a kept man.
Kept man. We're building a house together, actually, the warden and I. And
thinks she's going to have some say-so about it. He's not.
I'm not. She's already told me which rooms I control.
Which are none.
None.
The garage, maybe.
And the extra garage. But
garage.
That's who the warden is.
So we answered that question.
Yeah, the warden. We'll have to have the warden on the show, I guess.
She'll have to come as a guest.
She'll have to come as a guest. Let me mention for the last time this cruise that we're going on before we get any further, and this will take up. Well, I guess I could do this at the end. You want to go ahead and read one more email?
Well, I can't.
Go ahead.
You're the creator.
We'll do this at the end.
Here we go.
One more email, quick.
Okay, we have a central heating and cooling system, which is a heat pump of the high efficiency type, but we also have two fireplaces and an oil heater.
Mm-hmm.
And we use the central system for general temperature control. But in the evenings, after the work at the salt mine is done, nothing beats a roaring fire in a fireplace.
Yeah.
Now, I've made the mistake of starting a fire with the damper in the closed position.
Haven't we all?
Yeah.
No, I never
have. Only takes a few seconds to recognize the error of my ways.
Yeah.
I generally use Braille pages out of magazines, along with dry kindling, which I've split into small pieces to start the fire, with the larger logs arranged above the starting material. I cannot store all of the Braille magazines I receive each month, so I'm able to start the fire and help with the trash at the same time.
Yeah.
I generally will place from 3 to 6 logs on the dog irons, so that I get a nice big fire with a large bed of coals for later. I have an outside air supply for combustion purposes, which increases the efficiency of the fireplace. Messy, no doubt, but I think the wonderful ambience is worth the effort. I will guarantee that it will warm your companion if you have if you get her to cooperate and join you in front of the fire.
Yep.
A glass of peach brandy is also recommended.
Yeah.
To help with the evening.
Who is this guy?
This guy's name's Clifford.
Yeah.
With a name like Clifford, you've got to be a romantic source.
Think so?
You know? Well, anyway, with the evening, when the temperatures drop on the outside, here in the valley, our temperatures tend to drop most evenings after sundown. We have our first hints of fall here in East Tennessee, so I'm starting to think firewood, etc. There are no good reasons blind folks can't enjoy a good fire and all that goes with it.
Oh, no.
Truly,
that's true.
Clifford Wilson.
Clifford Wilson.
I've had a fireplace for ever since we moved to Burke. I was married to my first wife. Good God, that's a long time ago.
Speaking about the warden. Or parole, or out on parole.
She was
probably an escapee.
Saddam Hussein's niece. That was like 74. I've been building fire since then. It's no problem to build for a blind guy to build a fire. You just do it like a sighted guy would. I just get some small logs, and usually there's a box or something around it. You can tear some cardboard off of, or paper towels will do nicely. Or
those
we have this
pages.
Those Braille pages, which
idea.
Of course I don't have. But we have a thing in East Texas called rich pine. I guess you can find this in other parts of the world, but I never saw it till I moved up here. And it's actually, if you get a little splinter of this stuff, you can light this stuff with a match. The wood will actually light.
Like the rosin in it is intense. Yes.
Yeah, will right. And so you light a little sliver of rich pine, and then you take that and you get a larger piece of rich pine going, and that rich pine will burn until the kindling is caught and you caught your logs. So if you can find some rich pine, and you can tell if it's rich, you can smell it. You can smell that turpentine or that pine rosin in it. Maybe somebody knows a little more about it will email us on the list. But there's no reason a total can't build a fire. I've been doing it for years. If you need help, give me a call.
And we also, you know, being that 3 out of the 4 of us here are blind in some fashion, visually, you know, partially sighted or otherwise, and we've gone all the aspects of fire burning, cleaning the fireplace, cleaning the chimney. Phil and Don, I think, told the tale one time about using the log splitter. They wasn't sure how to use it. I believe it was a gasoline jobber.
Yeah.
But anyway, to make it even better, and we always like to do tools that help blind people, I mean, that are safer. And this letter, I hadn't thought about this till I heard the email, but on TV, and we don't push any products, but the people, the DR people who make DR brush mowers, and I'm looking at one of the post hole diggers, they make an electric log splitter. You can use it in the house, in the basement. It'll do up to a 10 or 12 inch log.
Whoa.
And it's safe. I think it's like low. It's just a constant pressure, but it's not noisy gasoline.
Yeah.
And I saw a demonstration of it on TV, and it would be great for a blind guy.
And no kidding.
You know, so,
well, if you live in an area where you need to, we had, when we built this house, we had a lot of trees. We lost a lot of trees, so that consequently we had some wood. But most times, you know, for $100, you can buy a cord of firewood that's split.
Right.
But electric log splitter, we'll talk about that.
Well,
I'd like to have one.
It was a neat-looking little gizmo, quiet, and it's portable. The guy picked it up and put it in the trunk of his car.
That's cool.
So,
I may have to have one of those.
The same people that make the DR trimmers and DR brush mowers.
Never saw. Of course, if it isn't on CNN, I don't see it. The liberal channel. Anyway, we'll...
this on Fox.
Gordon, well, I won't ever see it. It's the arm of the George Bush administration. We're going to do our guest, and we'll be back in just a moment with more of the exciting Blind 90 Man Show, guys.
one word at hotmail.com. That's blindhandyman at hotmail.com. Contact information. Blind like me. Blind like me. Lowercase all one word at txucom.net. That's blind like me at txucom.net. Contact information. Blind handyman listserv. Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Contact information. Blind handyman at hotmail.com. Blind like me at txucom.net. Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your contact information.
Everybody, this is Phil Parr. We're enjoying putting these little programs together for you. We hope you're enjoying them, too. We've been on with the Blind Handyman for more than a year now. We've done 10 Blind Like Me shows. We're having one little problem. You can help us with it. We always need guests for both shows, and we sometimes have a problem finding them. If you'd like to be a guest on either show, or you know someone who might make a good interview, email us at one of the following addresses. Blind Handyman, all one word, at hotmail.com, or Blind Like Me, all one word, at txucom.net. Also, if you have ideas for future shows, include them in your email. We'll look forward to hearing from you. And please tell your friends about the show. Thanks again from all of us at the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me.
Talk of the blind community, this is the Blind Handyman. We invite your correspondence at our address, blindhandyman at hotmail.com. To be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, with more of the Blind Handyman, here's Tom Houston.
Doesn't she sound sweet? I'm telling you, that Jan sounds wonderful. We got to get better all the time. That sounded better than the guy we had to introduce us 2 weeks ago, the last time I worked here, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a very special guest today, ladies and gentlemen, a guy that I'm kin to. And he's on the phone. Say something, Gordon.
Well, hello, folks.
It's good to have you with us.
It's hello, great. Gordon. Great to be with you.
Well, he's Tom's brother, and he builds a hell of a deck.
He's a hell of a deck.
We'll have to give you that. Man, that's class work, you know. It's really nice.
I really appreciate that.
I just regret that I don't know if you played. You didn't plan to come down when I was out of town, did you?
No, as a matter of fact, I was disappointed when I didn't get to meet y'all.
I was, too. I wanted to meet you and Rufus both. Maybe you can come back down at some point in time.
Hopefully we can. We're going to plan to do that.
Well, you need to come down and keep Tom straight. I don't know. I guess you had a good time, but nobody enjoyed your visit more than he. That's all he talked about for 3 weeks.
Oh, man, we loved it. We had a wonderful time.
He enjoyed it.
It really gave me an opportunity to be around his children. I hadn't been spent much time with them, so I really enjoyed it.
Well, they spend a lot of time at his house, I understand.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah.
I understand that they do a lot of grocery shopping over at his house.
Correct, but I don't think he'd have it any other way.
I don't think he complains about it, but I don't think he would either. I think he enjoys having it. Well, how is you? I understand you're now in the Birmingham market, is that right?
That is correct.
With Abacon Gutters in Birmingham, if anybody's listening, they could call you?
That is correct, and we started production Monday morning. We've been selling for about a month.
Uh-huh.
We actually went into production Monday morning yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And we're doing our thing.
And you got that boy you're selling, do you?
Huh? Oh, man, does he ever.
Does he ever. Well, I understand he's setting the woods on fire selling those gutters.
Well, he is excellent. And, of course, we have another guy in Chattanooga that is excellent. Uh-huh. I just get good reports every day.
That's good.
And I just think it's wonderful.
So you're making lots of money?
Well, we're making some money. I don't think you ever make enough, do you?
You don't ever make enough.
No, I guess you don't. But you started, by production, you mean you started actually installing.
We're actually installing, yes.
Well, that's good. So if somebody wanted to call you, spell your name. You know, Abacon, spell it for us.
It's Abacon.
Abacon.
Yes.
Gutters in Birmingham, Alabama. So if you live in that area, call Gordon and tell him hi. Tell him you heard him on the Blind Handyman Show.
Right.
Buy some gutters if you want
to. Love to hear from you.
Well, you also, in addition to this gutter business you have, you've been doing pest control for a number of years. Is that right?
That is correct.
Well, this is the time that the vermin want to move in with you. Since the weather gets cooler, they don't like it outside, so they decide that they come in the house. So it's probably a good time to kind of start to talk about that kind of thing. So tell us what to watch for and what to, what kind of person you get to help you, or just talk about it a little bit.
One of the ideal situations about pest control is pests pretty much so like what we like. They like good food. They like controlled environment.
Sex.
Yes, sex. Lots of sex. So, you know, fortunately for the pest control operator, he has a job.
Yeah.
And that's to go in and get rid of these little creatures that we're talking about. The pest control industry is, of course, regulated in most states by the state. However, it requires also a federal certification. And it's regulated now to the point to where it's terrible. I guess that's the only word I can say. It's terrible because of the fact that they have put restricted uses on pesticides and made it very difficult for the pest control operator or the small operator. Okay?
Yeah.
In doing so, what happened to the exterminator, now he has to do more work and less spraying, whereas before he'd do more spraying and less work. Now, I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not, but now we deal with pesticides that are so environmentally friendly that it really takes some expertise to get in there and actually eliminate the problem. And it's also a known fact that most of the products used by the professional exterminator are sold in, you know, your farm and garden stores, Lowe's and Home Depot.
Yeah.
The thing that segregates the general population from the licensed PCO or the experienced PCO is the fact that he understands the product and what it does and how to apply it and when to use it and so on and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And what pest it works the best on, even though the label will carry you through a broad spectrum of, you can buy one pesticide that kills 900 insects, but there's probably really only one or two insects on there it actually works good with, you know. So it really, the pest control operator, he still plays a major role, but he must know more than he used to have to know. You know, back in the days of chlordane, I could come out and say you lived at 101 Van Circle, and I accidentally went out and treated 103 for termites with chlordane.
Uh-huh.
Well, chances are it killed your termites, too.
So, yeah, along with numerous numerous pets.
It was kind of non-forgiving,
and,
you know.
Yeah. Numerous pets and small children.
You don't want a guy with a flit gun full of DDT walking around your house.
You're
you don't want that
right.
anymore.
But
you know.
Point being, today, the termiticides, pesticides, and the rodenticides that you use today, that can't happen. You must do the best treatments you've ever done in your life.
Yeah.
And when we talk about pests in general, you know, the basic pests that the homeowner is plagued with are usually rats, mice, roaches, water bugs, ants, silverfish, earwigs, spiders, crickets, grasshoppers, and termites.
Uh-huh.
Those are the basic pests at which the homeowner sees on a regular basis. Then you have the other insects, which we call occasional invaders that will invade the property. Box elder bugs, that's a real good one up here. I don't know what you have in Texas. You could, may have the longhorn beetle or something. I don't know. But nonetheless, the pest control operator must identify, locate, find his infestation, and apply these pesticides in strategic locations. And you have your famous government standing over you saying that you cannot use these products inconsistent of the labeling. In other words, the poor old exterminator, from start to finish, documents everything he does right down to the number of ounces that he applies and where it was applied and what the target pest was.
Really?
Yes. I mean, that's how serious it is.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. You would think that the exterminator was walking around with a loaded shotgun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth is what we're using, I venture to say it would harm no one.
Yeah.
Now, in the older days, yes, it would.
Diluted products these days.
Yeah, as you know, the problem with your streams and lakes, they're finding mercury and chlordane in the fish. And it's not, you can't blame the exterminator. It's this good old farmer who I love dearly. you know, treating various things, and it's running off its fields into the creeks. You know,
well, they're regulating that pretty heavily now, though, also, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They are very much so.
Well, Gordon, a while ago you commented on the fact how this impacted the small exterminator versus the larger guy. Maybe you could elaborate. Why? Because are the chemicals more expensive, or just the time spent on the job?
Well, you know, I grew up in the early days. I started in the pest control business about 70. We used to fill a handheld sprayer for about 6 cents, 8 cents. Today, we fill it anywhere from $6 to $25.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's a drastic difference.
Oh, yeah.
Termiticides went from, I think I used to buy chlordane in a drum for $6 a gallon. I could get 55-gallon drum for $6 a gallon. Today, that same mixture is about $156 a gallon.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So, you see, it was very drastic. And you can thank our government for that. They're always helping us out.
Yeah. I sense that you're not happy with the government and their regulation of the environment.
No, I'm not. Because
but we only have a planet to live on, and there's lots of us trying to live here.
Right. Well, you're right. Getting back to the little exterminator is it took, like, your big companies,
mm-hmm.
they will invest the money into a job.
Yeah.
Cheaper. I mean, they'll take a job cheaper than we can actually buy the product to do the job.
I got you.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
In an effort to weed you out or buy you out. If you won't sell out to them, then they say, all right, we'll just squeeze you out.
Yeah. They'll do jobs cheap enough that you can't.
That's right. But now what people don't understand about that situation, they also cheat the consumer because they don't apply the correct amount of termiticide, you know. So, but that's a whole show. We could go on about that all day.
Yeah.
It's horrible in that regard, but the major factor is that each individual operator has to have state and federal certification and has to acquire so many credit hours within a certain time frame in order to maintain his permission to go in homes and treat them, which, you know, education is everything, and there's advanced education, but they carried it to extremes. Well, what happens to the little guy? He pays for every one of these seminars that his men goes to.
Yeah.
Whereas the big companies, they get an entomologist on their staff, and the state accepts anything he sends to them.
Yeah.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So, and the ones that are investigated are the small companies, like we're audited annually. The larger companies, nobody seems to ever bother them.
Yeah. There's something crazy about that, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I don't want to get off on that.
You can't just decide, I want to be a bank and have people come out and deposit money with you. That's also, everything is heavily regulated.
Lots of regulation.
I understand.
You know, everything is, you can't do anything.
And it must be regulated.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be it doesn't have to discriminate.
Not to the degree that it is.
How would they keep from discriminating? What would they do? Just say, all right, if you have under five people, you take a bottle of DDT and go around and exterminate. And if you have more than five people working for you, how else would they do it?
Make the larger companies do the same thing the smaller companies do. Make them go to the seminars.
That's not going to happen because Republicans own the large companies.
So. We're not going to get into that either, Phil.
Oh, well, we're about to get into it here.
Who knows about you, Phil?
Republicans own the large companies. That's the problem.
Hey, well, Houston has filled me in on you on politics.
He talks too much. So let me ask you this. You say rats and mice.
Mm-hmm.
What do you? I had rats. I live in the woods. I guess Tom showed you my house. Did he drive you through here, running through here?
No, actually, we were working so profusely to accomplish what we were doing.
But you didn't have time to do much.
And we fought a couple of rain days, you know.
Yeah.
So we didn't have much time to do any loafing.
Anyway, I live in the woods, and so we had, for the first 3 or 4 years here, we had rats bad. Never did get one in the house, but we had them in the attic and in the yard and eating the dog food. And we finally poisoned them all. What do you recommend, trapping or poison or what?
Well, you know, there's several ways you can control rats. Number one, the first thing you need to do is seal up their point of entry getting into your house.
Yeah.
The other thing is, any of your rodenticides that you buy, even from a professional exterminator, are going to be what they call anticoagulant rodenticides.
Yeah.
They cause hemorrhaging internally, and it's a very safe product because the percentage in the bait, if a child consumed it, the child more likely would just throw it up. It wouldn't even be a problem.
They said the same thing about my animal, that they probably wouldn't kill him.
Right. It won't. It would have to be a dog in heat or something like that. And then, of course, it could possibly kill it. But it'd be rare, okay?
Yeah.
Or you can use, there's such a thing as a glue trap. It's a board that has glue on it.
I've seen those.
And you can trap them with that. Or you have the expanded trigger traps, which is the little trigger you put the cheese on, and you can catch them. You know, it's a snap trap, and it actually kills them. Breaks their neck. You know?
Yeah.
You can do it that way. Usually the anticoagulant rodenticides today are one-shot rodenticides. If they get one little feeding on it, they're gone, their history.
Yeah.
The carcasses dry up real quick. The odor is minimized. But there again, you kill out what's in your home, seal off all the points of entry, and you've eliminated that problem.
We tried the glue trap. With a glue trap, then you got to go take something and knock them in the head.
Well, you submerge them in water and drown them. And then
Mama didn't like that. She wasn't happy about that.
Oh, really?
She didn't care for that. We tried those glue traps. And we trapped a few, and we ended up buying a thing called Just One Bite, which is just little pellets in a bag that you just stick under the porch. And, brother, we'd find, I bet we killed 50 one year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I couldn't believe. We never had one in the house. We had them in the attic bed.
Uh-huh.
But, man,
What? And you had them in the attic. What, did you have a roof rat?
I don't know how they got in the attic. I never did figure out. I think they left a gap in the plate somewhere, and they were coming up a wall.
Is your house on a slab?
My house, yeah.
Okay. Up here we have crawl spaces.
Yeah, no, there's no crawl spaces.
They'll go up the vent pipe, always at it.
We got porches that are not on our porches. I don't know how, but we haven't had one. I haven't heard one in the attic in a long, long time.
Rodents are a problem, especially in the fall of the year because of the temperature changing, and they're wanting to get indoors, too.
Yeah.
And it is a problem. One of the other major problems we have is ants.
Yeah.
I'm sure y'all have
in
Texas.
Boy, I do.
When I first started in the business, there was no such thing as a fire ant in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
No.
But now they're everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, they've migrated all the way to that far north. And I like to tell your listeners that there is a product sold out of the Lowe's and Home Depot and also Walmart.
That'll kill them?
Yeah, it's called Amdro.
Yeah, we use
Andro.
Will that get them?
Yes, it will. If you use it according to the label.
You said that last week, in fact.
That old wives' tale about putting grits on their mound and the grits swell up inside them when they eat, that doesn't work.
To be honest, as a licensed professional pest control operator, I just don't think people would like me carrying out a bag of grits. So I have never tried it.
But
I've heard that, and
you might try it.
If it works, I'd like to know.
It didn't work. We tried it.
But I wouldn't think it would.
With the Amdro, Gordon, do you put it on the mound or around the mound?
It's around the base of the mound.
Around the base of the mound.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how do you determine, is that where the sand stops, or... You know how they always kind of...
Well, you can tell. Of course, fire ant mounds are humongous.
They are.
And you just want to go around the outer perimeter of it.
Yeah, okay.
So it's something that really works. Now, cockroaches are a common problem.
Oh, man, yeah.
There are many different kinds. And, of course, the first thing you need to do is establish what kind you have. The most predominant is a German cockroach. It's a little small brown roach that lives in your kitchen and bathrooms normally, and it will spread throughout the house if they're allowed to populate. And believe you me, you're talking about sex. Now, those little critters, they have
populate,
sex.
Don't they? Yeah.
Because one egg capsule has 30 to 55 young in it.
Maybe. Yeah.
Whoa.
And they really reproduce.
But actually, you need a professional to tell you what, because you would have no way of knowing what kind of roach you had.
A professional can take one glance at it and tell you there's about five roaches that are common to the exterminator. Uh-huh. You have a German and a brown banded. They're very much alike. One way you can tell the difference, one will cement his egg case to a surface, the other one won't. And you'll find your brown banded in the higher elevations of your cabinets. And don't ask me why.
That's odd.
It's odd, but that's the case. Brown banded, by the way, does cement its egg case to a surface. The German roach just drops it wherever it falls.
Uh-huh.
See? So then your other roaches, your larger roaches, which is your Oriental and your American cockroach, and also y'all got the smoky browns, don't you?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know they do in Florida and that area. I don't know if you have them or not. But those are large roaches, commonly live in moist environments like under concrete slabs.
That's not what we call the tree roach, is it?
No, there is a wood roach.
Okay.
Now, that, commonly they don't infest your house. They're attracted to the light at night, and that's where you see them. So they're really not that much of a problem.
So, Gordon, if we've hired you and you came and exterminated our house, and then after you, when you're leaving, you say, now, there's things you can do to also help the problem, like I know you want to deprive them of food, but I've heard about, like, people keeping grocery store sacks and boxes.
Well, you know, sanitation runs hand-in-hand with pest control. We all know that.
Yeah.
Especially in commercial areas. Usually you can control a situation in a house in most, in the worst circumstances. There's been occasions that we haven't been able to, but, you know, that's rare. Usually you can control them under most any condition. But commercially, where you go into restaurants and food warehouses and stuff like that, it's essential or you'll never obtain control.
Yeah.
Well, how about for people that have that keep dogs and things in their houses and have a flea problem?
Okay, well, that's the flea problem is something that really requires the homeowner's help. And if you can imagine, just the thing as simple as a vacuum cleaner will help tremendously. And if an exterminator, if you vacuum real heavy before he arrives, and you come out, and the exterminator comes out, and he treats your home, he's going to use a combination of pesticides. One will be a growth regulator, which is going to break that that reproduction cycle.
I've heard that.
The other is going to be a residual spray. And then you're going to have what's called a contact spray. But it's still essential after it dries that you continue to vacuum heavy every day. And it's probably going to be 25 days before all your fleas are gone.
Whoa.
Yeah, because it's they and you can there are things you can rub on your dog also that will not kill them.
There is the first line product seems to work real well.
Yeah.
Where you install it right at the back of the neck of the dog.
That's what we do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that seems to work real well. And also, doesn't hurt every once in a while to have your dog dipped.
And you, but you've got to remember to put that stuff on once a month.
Yeah. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. It's a monthly deal. You're right.
It is.
Yeah, I had a little problem with these black ants that come around the drains. And my exterminator told me, he said, what you've got to do is let them eat my bait and get to liking it better than they like whatever they're eating here. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's probably a pharaoh ant you're talking about.
Right, little bitty.
Little bitty. Some people call them a sweet ant.
Right.
Okay. There is a home remedy for that, if y'all would be interested.
That. Yeah.
If you go to the grocery store and buy you a jar of apple or mint jelly, okay, and also get you a little 3.5-ounce bottle of borax acid, the powder.
Yeah.
Put it in your blender and mix it up.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. You have made the same chemical that they sell the professional exterminator that's called Drax. And it will do the very same job. And you just take, and you can use Coca-Cola lids to put it out, or you can use cut pieces of straws. And put it out in a lot of areas in the little trails where the ants are running.
Right. Normally around the drain, like bathrooms and kitchens.
And they will feed on that and carry it back to the nest, which is usually in the wall or under the false bottom of your kitchen cabinets or, you know, in behind receptacles. And they'll carry it back and it will eliminate them. But now here's the catch. See, once again, we're looking at a 25-30-day process to totally eliminate.
Right.
You're not going to get results. Now, if you take an insecticide and you're spraying those ants, you're just slowing down the process.
You're killing what you see.
That's right. Yeah. And you're not doing any good at all.
Uh-huh. Why are you telling us all these home remedies?
Well, I mean, I don't mind telling you because you're not going to do it right to start with.
Because we're not
going to call the exterminator.
We're not going to call. You know we're not going to call you, so it's hard to tell us
you,
about
you get thing. Disgusted and you say, oh, no, you know, I can't. I'm going to have to call the exterminator. Oh, this is not working.
I have my house done twice a year, regardless. I have it done twice a year.
Well, that's good. And an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
I don't want any pests. I don't want them in my house.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that that I can tell the changes in the law you're talking about, because about 4 years ago I had a guy, Phil used him too, Sammy Steed, Phil.
Uh-huh.
He exterminated my house, like I say, and pets and small children disappeared from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any problem.
Okay.
I didn't have any problem till now. And then I used his brother. Like, Sammy stayed with me half a day.
You're going to get us sued.
And he sprayed the top. I have a story and a half house. He went up 8 feet on the walls outside. And now his brother came. He spent about 15 minutes with me and just kind of pitty-pattered around. And so I'm wondering, you know. But
yeah. I don't want to mislead you on this ant situation.
Right.
There are some ants that are trailing like that.
Yeah.
Usually they're a little larger than what we're calling the Pharaoh ant or the sweet ant.
Right.
You need to follow their trails back to the outdoors, because most of them are coming from outdoors.
Yeah.
And you need to do some work outdoors in order to eliminate them. So don't let me mislead you on that.
Right.
Actually, for a blind person, the best thing to do is call somebody.
Absolutely.
And anybody that you call,
call somebody.
Anybody that's anybody that's in the phone book as a pest person is going to be trained to do what you're trained to do.
Absolutely.
That's right. But don't call the orc and call some small guy, right?
Well, I believe that wholeheartedly, because I feel like that you'll get better service and They're more. In other words, they appreciate you more.
Well, yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Gordon, do you have love bugs up there?
Love bugs.
Love bugs. It's
well,
a little black bug that flies around, and they're connected. There are two of them, but they're connected at the tail, and they're all over the place right now in East Texas.
Yeah, I've heard of that, but I'm really not up to date on it.
Well, this is something that. They're attracted by automobiles. They don't seem to be a problem around houses. But when I got in my car to come down and do handyman today.
Your windshield and headlights.
I had love bugs all over my vehicle.
Well, I'll have to look that up.
They're also called telephone bugs. And the reason they're called telephone bugs, because every time they see each other, they hang up.
Okay.
With that note, we're going to leave you, sir. And would you come back, man? I sure would like to meet y'all. You know,
certainly would like to meet y'all, and I hope to get down there soon.
You ought to be sitting right here with us, having a cold beer and enjoying the handyman show.
Oh, I'd love it.
I bet you Gordon doesn't drink beer.
I bet he does. Anyway, he's Tom Houston's brother. Of course he does. Gordon, thank you a lot, sir.
All right, thank you, sir.
We'll look forward to visiting with you, and you, as I say, you build a hell of a deck.
All right, thank you, sir.
Gordon.
Thank you.
See
you. We'll
bye-bye.
Talk with you back with more of the Blind Handyman Show in just a minute.
Contact. Information.
The Blind Handyman.
Blind Handyman. All lowercase one word at hotmail.com.
That's Blind Handyman at hotmail.com.
Contact. Information.
Blind like me.
Blind like me.
Lowercase all one word at txucom.net.
That's Blind like me at txucom.net.
Contact.
Information.
Blind Handyman listserv.
Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
That's Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Contact information.
Blind Handyman at hotmail.com.
Blind like me at txucom.net.
Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Email us often and give us your opinion.
If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your
contact information.
Hi, everybody. This is Phil Parr. We're enjoying putting these little programs together for you. We hope you're enjoying them, too. We've been on with the Blind Handyman for more than a year now. We've done 10 Blind Like Me shows. We're having one little problem. You can help us with it. We always need guests for both shows, and we sometimes have a problem finding them. If you'd like to be a guest on either show, or you know someone who might make a good interview, email us at one of the following addresses. Blind Handyman, all one word, at hotmail.com, or Blind Like Me, all one word, at txucom.net. Also, if you have ideas for future shows, include them in your email. We look forward to hearing from you. And please tell your friends about the shows. Thanks again from all of us at the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me.
You are are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community.
Yep.
Shaw boy.
What a deal.
We love you.
What a deal.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about air compressors today. Before I bought mine, my brother-in-law was there, so I've been buying an air compressor. And I wasn't really for it because I had never seen one. I didn't know what they did. I didn't know what they looked like. They were noisy. I thought, well, you know, why do I need an air compressor? I thought that until I bought one. And first thing I bought an air compressor. Now, an air compressor is a big thing with a tank on it, a compressor with a tank, and it compresses air down, and that air is under pressure. And that air pressure will run pieces of equipment. It will run just about anything you want. It will run a drill. It will run a saw. It will run a nail guns of all sizes. It will run a small wood splitter. It will run just virtually any air up tires.
A wrench.
A pneumatic wrench.
Yep.
They're called pneumatic tools. If you don't have an air compressor and you do a lot of work, like if you have things like we have, like lawnmowers and cars and four-wheelers and all that stuff, kind of stuff, an air compressor is almost a must because they give you a little attachment that you have on the end of your hose, and just like a service station, just air up your tire.
Yep.
And they're very handy. I recommend them for people who have, like you're going to need one out at Bear Claw, Pat. You'll need an air compressor out there because you'll have, think how many tires you have. You have your trailer.
Yes, sir.
You have your lawnmower.
Yeah.
You're fixing to buy another car. You'll have two cars. All kinds of things that you will need to air up tires. So eventually, you will want to buy, probably, an air compressor. Plus, the first thing I bought was a little thing they call it a brad gun. I don't know why they call it a brad gun. It shoots nails up to, I think, an inch and a half. Maybe just a little bit longer than your electric gun, Charles.
Yeah, I think so.
It'll shoot inch and a half nails. And I thought, well, I'm going to try this thing out. So I cut me out a little birdhouse. Got all the pieces, and I filled up my little brad gun, tacked it together. It took me 5 minutes to tack it together, whereas hammering nails or gluing would have taken a half hour.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. So now I've got a big gun. I've got a framing gun that will actually put a nail in concrete. I mean, it's a big, heavy, probably weighs 10 pounds. If you carried one of these suckers around all day, you'd get tired. It's a framing gun. You can lay a 2x4 on a piece of concrete. And if you have a concrete nail, you can hold it down, pull the trigger, it will shoot the nail through the 2x4 and into the concrete. That nail, that thing will be fastened,
yep.
Folks. It will be down on that concrete. You'll take a crowbar and pop it up if you can. You'll probably split the 2x4 before you get it up. And that's powerful. I mean, that's a lot of power.
Lots of power.
So if you've never looked at an air compressor, you've never seen one, go to Lowe's. Or go to Home Depot or some big store like that sells Sears, I guess, would sell them, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Ask them, tell them, I want do what? Buy what, Houston?
Nothing.
What are you thinking of it?
Nothing. I was thinking of something you said
I'm
earlier.
I'm not buying anything else from Sears as long as I live. I bought a drill from Sears, and they quit making the battery for the damn thing 2 years after I bought it. I'm not buying anything else from Sears. Anyway, Sears would have this clothes, maybe.
They would have it.
They'd have it. Ask them to let you look at an air compressor. Mine was, I think I bought it at Lowe's, and it was $160. You can buy them even smaller than that. I think they make a little what they call a pancake compressor that's about $100 that Walmart was selling. Remember, somebody had one. Tom Fussell had one.
Yeah.
It's a little flat-looking compressor. Now, it will run a nail gun. It would run a framing gun if there was only one person using it.
Yeah, are these the kind? Some air compressors, like little paint compressors, do not store the air. You know, they're generating it.
As you go. Yeah.
So that would run a very small appliance, but
yeah, but, I don't know if they'd run a nail gun or not.
Right. No, I think not. Spray
but this little $100 one would run a nail gun. If you were the only guy using it, it would probably run
because it has a little tank and it will store.
Right.
At least a little
air. It does. It does store air, but then the time you can't with a framing gun, one person. You'd, especially a blind person, you'd do a nail, and then you'd have to find where you want to do the next nail, so you'd give it 15 or 20 seconds to build up air. It'd probably run a lot.
Yeah.
But it would sure run a little brad nailing gun very easily.
Oh, yeah.
And it would run a drill, or they call them something else. They don't call them drills when they're pneumatic. They call there's some something, an air wrench or a air something. Anyway, I have one. It would run that, and it would sure air up your tires. And you can buy one of those, I think, for like $100, $110 at Walmart. Well, so if you do a lot of fooling around like we do, you might think about that. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, and because they're so noisy, you know, a lot of blind people are intimidated. Sometimes noisy things irritate them. Go examine one that's not running because it's made up of several things. It has an electric motor that drives the compressor. It's got a belt because then it's going to have a guard on that belt so you can't get your finger in there. I mean, there, you know, you'd have to be familiar with your piece of equipment, but it's quite a handy deal.
You'd have to work to get hurt with one.
Right.
I looked it over before we fired it up. I looked it over well. My brother-in-law came over and read the instructions, and what you do the first thing is open the regulator and turn it on and let it blow air. Let it blow all the little metal particles out. And then we let it run 10 minutes doing that. Excuse me. And then we shut it down and we wanted it to air itself up, and it aired up. It took about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and about 2 minutes in, John said, "Why don't we go somewhere else and get away from this thing?" Because it was making enough noise, it scared
really
him.
Noisy.
But you'd have to work at getting hurt with one. You'd have to work hard at it. And if you are going to build something, if you're going to build some picnic tables or anything you're going to build, you might think about buying a little. A Brad gun's about $50. An air compressor would be $100. Then you'd have to have a piece of hose, which would be about $25. So for less than $200, you can get in the air compressor business. And I, as a blind person, recommend them.
Yeah. With the right training, a nail gun's a hell of a lot easier than using a hammer.
Ooh, boy, I love it. Anyway, we've done another one, guys. 51.
We have.
Yes, sir.
Talked about pest control.
Another one bites the dust.
Rats and all kind of things. And anyway, it's been a good show. Why am I having a problem here, but I'll get over it by next week, I hope so. We're switching places. I hate this.
All right. I want my place.
Do it your place. Switch for next week.
And we're going back to mono next year. Somebody call us and let us know if it sounds any different in stereo. Thank you, Don Pat.
Yes, sir. Enjoy.
And you're on for those
on
blind
for those next Monday.
That'll be Don. Don Shaw's with us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don Shaw. Yeah. Tom Houston.
Oh, it's good to be back.
We'll see y'all next week. As Phil Park. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.